I want to know, you know, the mission of the organization, but I'm also very curious, Judy, about why it is limited to women survivors.
Well, certainly no slight to our male counterparts. What we believe, and it has been backed up certainly by lots of psychological research, women are natural organizers, nurturers. We are very good at communal kinds of things. We share information. We're very good at networking. We're altruistic. So for all of those reasons, women coming together to talk about what the experience of cancer has done to them is far more natural and far more easily accomplished than trying to get a bunch of guys together to talk about prostate cancer. Not that men don't have issues as well, and certainly that they don't have other types of cancers. But women are just natural communicators with one another. So we felt, and we have found that in our existence, in the 2 years of our existence, cancer creates an amazing community, and it's in sisterhood, and it's amazing that total strangers will sit down at a table and talk about all the issues that they went through with their treatment and that they are now facing as survivors out in the world. That just doesn't happen with men. When I was bald, people would come up to me all over the world, because I did a lot of traveling for a research for a book I was working on, all over the world. Whether I understood them or not, they would come up to me and point to the head, point to my head, and kind of at motion why, and I pointed to my breast, and they got it.
So you've had your own personal journey with cancer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, my surgery was 2 years ago today.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yep.
So was there a need that you felt? The headline on the press release that I have here says that you found this group, this organization. So it was your idea?
Yes and no. My partner in crime and in business came up with the idea of it started out basically as a celebration in a park in Nashville for cancer survivors. Karen Shane is a 25-year ovarian cancer survivor. And she conceived of this idea about 4 years ago, started, you know, fleshing it out, realized it could be bigger. And she was very much in the throes of organizing the convention when I finished my treatment and began experiencing lots of post-treatment physical issues, joint pain, night sweats, foggy brain, things I was not expecting. And so in doing research for a magazine article, I discovered Karen, and together we started, you know, I became her partner in crime in the convention, but we realized we needed to found something bigger that would help the 7 million women cancer survivors in this country. That means one in every 22 women is a cancer survivor. So together we founded the Women Survivors Alliance, which supports women in ways beyond the convention.
And then the first ever National Women Survivors Convention is going to be in Nashville in August.
Correct. And it's actually become international. We have women coming from Canada, the UK, Australia, Germany, and then all 50 states. The goal of the convention, and actually the Women Survivors Alliance at large, is education, motivation, and life application. So while we will be filling our attendees' heads with lots of information, lots of ideas for nutrition and exercise and a variety of different survivorship-related issues, we will also be treating them to lots of fun things, and probably the most exciting of all is the closing night concert at the Grand Ole Opry starring Martina McBride. And, of course, her very famous song, I'm Gonna Love You Through This, that came out several years ago that she wrote for a friend who was going through cancer treatment has so resonated with survivors. So it just seemed like the perfect fit.
So how many women will gather in August?
Well, of course, we're hoping to max the place out, which would be about 2,000. More realistically, probably somewhere between 800 and 1,000 women will be at the convention, which is still an enormous number. We are also making scholarships available as our donations come in so that we can help women to attend who otherwise might not be able to attend. And we feel that's really important. Generally, the ones who can't afford it are the ones who don't have the kind of support that we were lucky enough to have. And so we're really hoping that we can bring as many women as possible through scholarships and donations.
June 2nd is National Cancer Survivors Day. And what does that mean exactly?
You know, it obviously is important to us as an organization. And I believe that it's getting legs as different hospitals and cancer-related groups are jumping on board with 5Ks and celebrations across the country. And I think maybe it might be interesting for your listeners to know that technically, in the medical sense, you are a survivor from the moment of diagnosis, because that's the point in time that you start surviving cancer. So it's not just for those of us who have finished treatments and, you know, on X date, we are survivors. It's from the moment of diagnosis. And the other thing that I want to make sure to get across is that, yes, the 7 million women cancer survivors and I are thrilled to have survived our illness. What then happens is what needs attention, because once your treatment has ended and the structure of being a patient sort of finishes, you're left with kind of a big sense of kind of like when the circus comes to town and then they pull up all the stakes and all the tents are gone and you're just left standing in the field. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. And you wonder if every little tweak and boo-boo is something you should pay attention to. Is your cancer coming back? I mentioned the physical issues. I have a wonderful support system and a pretty sunny outlook on life, but not everyone has that. There are psychosocial issues. And then beyond that, you know, life application issues. Some people have had limbs amputated, or my mother had oral cancer and was never able to eat again. So she had to have a feeding tube the rest of her life. Legal issues, financial issues. So there's a lot more that goes on within a cancer survivor's life once treatment has ended. But yes, we're very thrilled that we survived the disease.
Yeah, that was really well said. Thank you. I love that, what you just said. And, you know, I haven't been through that journey. So you said some things that I literally had never thought of before. I mean, we tend to think, hey, yay, my good friend survived cancer. But what, you know, what about it? And at what cost? And how does it change your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the things. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I know a woman quite well who is also a 2-year survivor as I am, and spends nearly every waking moment fearing for when it will come back. And that's a very difficult way to live your life from a physical standpoint. When your stress level is elevated like that, the stress hormones that are released in your body are meant to be there only very briefly to get you out of a dangerous situation. So long-term exposure to stress hormones can also be very, very bad for your health. And once you're in a weakened state, that certainly allows, an opportunistic bug like cancer to make a reappearance.
So now tell me about my second act, because, we've all known cancer survivors who, I mean, I've heard lots of cancer survivors say it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it opened my eyes to what's really important. And I imagine that's a lot of what you're hearing from my second act essays that are coming in.
Yes, and we, that's really the focus of our convention, and one of the missions or challenges, I guess, that we want to send the attendees off with when the convention ends in August. It's called My Second Act, and what we are calling for are essays from women around the world to respond to the prompt, cancer was the journey, survivorship was the destination, what are you doing with what you've learned? And, you know, Karen and I have undertaken a big project with what we learned, but even a hand up to someone behind you in treatment or someone who's newly diagnosed, but you can actually say to, I understand, those kinds of things are very valuable. I believe everything happens for a reason and everyone owes a payback to humanity. So we're going to rally the troops in August at the National Women Survivors Convention. And, but we want these essays to come in ahead of time. The deadline is actually July 31st. So listeners can go to our website at survivorsconvention.com and click on the link My Second Act and send away. And you can submit as many as you wish. It's not a contest. We're all already winners.
There's got to be some people maybe who, you know, are very early in their survivor journey. I liked what you said about you become a survivor the day you're diagnosed, and that's certainly a very valid point that I had never thought of. But there must be some essays coming in that maybe aren't quite so sunny.
We've had a couple. I don't know why it happens this way. Some people call it Murphy's Law. We've had a couple of essays come in where a survivor speaks not only of her diagnosis and treatment, but that came at a point in time in her life when, you know, her husband left her, she lost her job, and her dog died, you know. And so it seems like our challenges come in packages, in groups, and that makes the cancer treatment journey even more difficult. And I think, I hope that as a writer, I believe that it's very therapeutic to get your thoughts down, whether it be on paper or on a computer page. So I hope that there's therapy involved in this, both from the writing and the reading. And again, our goal is to take these essays, not only have them displayed at the convention, but also be available to read on our digital magazine that will launch at the convention.
And that's The Plum.
The Plum. The magazine is called The Plum, Women Survivors Living the Plum Life. And we will also be, we are also organizing Camp Purple, which are one-day events hosted by cancer care facilities around the country to reach, again, women who maybe can't come to the national convention. And they also will focus on education, motivation, and life application.